We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fan Ball.
We had a bad pilot enough to turn goat piss in the gas.
This is the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
And welcome back to another episode of the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast. We are here talking values once again. One value play from each position for the for really any game, I suppose. I'm here seated to my left is John Tuvey. How are you doing today?
Shoveled and gruntled.
I knew it.
You walked right into it. I'll have to do a little more thesaurus work this week.
Jay's doing good?
Yes, I'm doing well. And thank you for just doing assuming well. That Excuse I'm doing me. Well.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So let's just jump right into it. I think there's some good plays this week, especially at the quarterback position. John, let's start with you. Who's your favorite or a good value play you like this week?
He's definitely not my favorite quarterback, but there's definitely value here at 6,200. I'm going to go with the pink pistol, the red rocket, the red rifle, whatever. The Ginger Ninja, is that one that they use also? Andy Dalton's my guy. I know you're worried about the 140 passing yards last week against the Steelers, but he did have two touchdowns, and now he gets Indianapolis, ranked 31st against the pass. Fresh off of giving up 330 yards to the Jaguars, who are a predominantly run team, so the fact that they gave up 330 in the air speaks to how much that defense is struggling. They called off the dogs in that game too. I mean, they backed off, and I don't think Cincy will have that luxury, but that's okay for Andy Dalton's stat line. The Colts have given up 10 passing touchdowns, allowing a 63% completion percentage. And Andy Dalton, he's got multiple touchdowns in three of his last four. And pro tip, if you're in a one-timer league or a hold'em league or a elimination league, whatever you call them, where you can use a guy once and then don't use him again the rest of the season, this is the week to get your money out of Andy Dalton because from here on out, Jacksonville, Denver, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Minnesota, Baltimore, all top 10 defenses
it's
against
terrible.
Fantasy quarterbacks.
That's terrible. What's weird about it is that several of those are bad against tight ends, but good against quarterbacks and receivers.
And I will thank Jay later in the show for not forcing me to roll out a naked Dalton here in my new favorite DFS term to use consistently.
Naked Dalton. You love naked and a Dalton. This is a great week. I mentioned this on Sirius last night, Sirius Radio last night.
Seriously?
Yeah, on the NFFC show. That I love Bengals stacking this week. I love Joe Mixon. I love AJ Green. I love just a lot of guys. Maybe even another guy we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely Andy Dalton at that low price helps you do that. The guy I like this week, I love Andy Dalton. I love Jay's pick as well, who we'll get into in a second. But I also like Tyrod Taylor. He's far better at home. He always has been, and this year is just it's a crazy difference. He's averaging nearly double the passing yards at home, and he's also rushing the ball eight times a game at home for on average 35 yards, which isn't much, but hey, that's some extra points. He scored five of his seven touchdowns at home as well. He's at home this week against an Oakland pass defense that hasn't exactly been stellar. They're allowing 275 yards per game over their last five. They got that dreaded west to east noon game thing going on. So,
and the last time they went west to east, I believe the Raiders faced Kirk Cousins.
Ooh.
Gave up 342 and three.
Oh.
So they don't travel well.
I'm going to write that down. That's
nice.
An interesting nugget.
I just figured the guy who once a week wears the Tyrod Taylor shirt that would have all of that.
I do wear my Tyrod Taylor shirt once a week.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, especially
What's
since once a month he washes it.
It's got a picture of a tie and a picture of a goat for Ty Goat, saying he's greatest.
Of
oh my god, you guys wear
all
you man Harrison, you guys wear t-shirts that I have to think about. I don't like thinking when I'm looking at a T-shirt, you know?
Do you have to think on this T-shirt?
No, that's Back to the Future. Yeah. Great Scott.
Now you've challenged my wardrobe.
My name is Scott, and my T-shirt is a Back to the Future T-shirt that says Great Scott. So it works. People like it.
It would have not worked if your name was like
Bill.
Bill, Barry,
but it does work.
Or Bantz, like you used to. Like Bantz, yeah. Bantz. You know?
All right, Jay, who's your guy?
Well, I'm glad you set me up last year because we, as the people know, we only have, 26 teams playing this week going into Thursday, 24 for the weekend. So it was really hard to find somebody, and you guys took my top two in terms of Andy Dalton and Tyrod Taylor. So, yes, Phillip Rivers doesn't necessarily constitute a value. Got my hand in our
boat. Oh, he does.
Now.
He does.
He's at 6,900, okay? Yeah. But if you're going to spend 6,900 for the purposes of this podcast, I will guarantee, like, I will walk to Charlotte, North Carolina, if I'm wrong. I will guarantee top five numbers for the weekend, barring injury, okay? We're talking about a Patriots defense that works that ranks last, dead last against the past. They also rank either dead last or 31st in the categories of receptions allowed, passing yards allowed, and passing touchdowns allowed. So it's a perfect matchup. And here's the thing. The Patriots, of their last nine games, including the playoffs, Tuvi, quarterbacks not named Matt Ryan are 7-0 in terms of throwing for at least 300 yards. Matt Ryan has missed that mark both times, but everybody else has succeeded. I know it's 6,900, but I will make up for it by having three dirt cheap guys at the other spots. So Phillip Rivers, absolutely play him. I will guarantee top five numbers.
Ooh, well, I like it. A guarantee out of Jay.
Yeah, not
guarantee.
Not that I don't want to see him walk to Charlotte, North Carolina. But I do have Phillip Rivers as my number one quarterback.
Okay.
He's
also in my top
board.
Five, so I'm right there with you. Boy, it's warm in here. Is that the whiskey or is that just
part whiskey, part just the Minnesota climate.
Dang. Yeah, Minnesota.
We're a day away
from
snow.
It's not that cold yet. I know we're talking about it off here, that the local weatherman is already scaring people with snow. I had my windows open last night up until about 4 a.m.
Well, that's just so you could sneak back in, right?
Well, I live on the ground floor, but why would I need to sneak back into my own apartment?
I don't know. Okay. Why would you need to sneak out?
I will say, I mentioned this off air as well. I'm originally from Ely, Minnesota, where my parents still live, and it was snowing this week. You know,
that's like north Minnesota. We're in southern Minnesota here.
That is true. I was born in the same bed as Jessica Biel. Just a little fun fact there for the listeners.
Okay, well, hold on. Forget about the podcast.
that's a showstopper.
We need to hear it. What?
They only have one hospital and one maternity bed.
Yeah.
And we were born in the same bed. My parents both worked at that
hospital. You mean you were born in the same area where the bed was located or the exact same bed?
The exact same bed. They only had one room for deliveries in the hospital.
I have also offered my services since with the Super Bowl coming to town.
It's a stupid, boring Ely, Minnesota.
Super Bowl's coming
fact.
Here this year?
Super Bowl's coming to town. I'm offering right now in public to help Justin Timberlake script the wardrobe malfunction at halftime. If it involves Jessica Biel.
I didn't even think about that.
I wonder if
Ely's
big enough that they now have two bedrooms for that. Yeah. I don't know. They didn't at the time.
That's so cool. Like, so I'm not equating you or Jessica Biel to a, I'm going to wait till you put your drink down, to a mass murderer. But
if
anybody is born in that town, in that hospital, it's that bed that they're born into.
Yep.
Wow.
There's a connection. They might have more now, but when we both were born there.
You're right. 1963 was a long time ago.
Hey, now.
You're assuming, of course, that they made it to. I think
Jessica Biel was 82 or 83, though. So.
Okay.
But yeah.
I was going to say, you're assuming they made it to the hospital to have the birth.
I recently
had a cousin whose wife gave birth in the parking lot in the front seat of their van while he was running inside to get a wheelchair.
Oh, geez. Wow.
That's impressive.
We've really gone off the rails.
We have. Hey, let's get to running backs.
It's a good off the rails.
Yeah, well, let's go to running backs.
Nobody else is talking about the bed that Jessica Biel was born on today.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. They're talking about her husband being at the Super Bowl. So, all right, let's go to running backs. I'm taking Wendell Smallwood against San Francisco. He's 3,500. He's gotten a lot more touches as of recently. We just watched Ezekiel Elliott run forever on them. I don't know that Blunt can run forever on them. I think it might be a little bit of a share. You know, it's kind of a riskier pick, but at 3,500, I mean, the 49ers are one of the worst against the run. 189 yards per game. Also 6.6 receptions per game, and Blunt doesn't get involved there. That's Smallwood. So I think there's some play there for 3,500.
Well, and you bury the lead a little bit. Even if Blount does have a large share of the carries, Rod Smith still took him for 61 yards on eight carries. So there will be leftovers.
Yep.
It will be – it's like making a big pan of lasagna. There's going to be leftovers. You're going to enjoy them for days with Wendell Smallwood.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I'm just – no, let's go to you, John, for your running back first. I was going to throw in a wide receiver I like in that game. But
no, you can't – not yet. Not
I can't
yet.
Jump ahead.
I'm going to exploit the vacancy left by Marshawn Lynch leaving the bench and putting hands on officials and shockingly getting suspended. By the way, it would have been much cooler if he would have taken the Bart home in his uniform.
That would have been
– that would have been –
he would have been
epic.
Hounded.
Yes.
The what?
The Bart.
Home? He took the Bart home, the Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what they call it, what the equivalent was in Georgia. A rickshaw?
MARTA,
okay.
Don't ask me what MARTA meant, but yeah, it was called
probably
MARTA.
Macon Metro, area.
Metro
Macon?
Area.
Macon, Atlanta.
It's in Georgia.
Yeah.
Metro Atlanta something, I don't know.
Metro Atlanta Transit.
Rapid Transit
Association.
Rapid Transit Association. There you go.
Wow. We've solved a lot of problems.
I actually interviewed for a job to be the MARTA spokesman a long time ago when I first moved to Atlanta. You know, it would have been a good job, I'm sure. But at the same time, I'm glad I didn't get it, too. It's one of those things where, you know, I got the job at Sports Illustrated a couple of months later. And
Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, for those listening.
There we go.
Because everybody wants to know.
I think the fact that we've taken so many side angles it speaks to just how thin running back is this week.
It's terrible.
Six teams on the bye, and then you thin the slate further with the Thursday game, the Monday game, and the London game. That's why I'm going with Jalen Richard. He handled half the workload last week, which meant 9 carries and 4 catches versus 9 and 3 for DeAndre Washington. I'm expecting a similar split against a pretty good Buffalo defense, but that defense is going to necessitate the Raiders throw the ball a little bit more, and that's Richard's role. Teams targeting running backs more than 3 times a game against the Bills are averaging 6 catches for 53 yards.
Ooh.
Oakland has targeted running backs 4 or more times in every game. Richard has 4 or more targets in each of his last 2. So it's not a big ceiling, but there's a safe floor in what he's going to get you in a PPR scoring format like Fanballs. So for $4,500, if you're strapped for cash and trying to plug in a running back. And there is some upside to him if DeAndre Washington, you know, if they ride the hot hand and it's Jalen Richard, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jay, who's your guy?
The schizophrenic in me is insulted by Matt Forte's price point of $3,800. But the internal fantasy player, if we have a fan ball contest this weekend, loves the $3,800. This is an absolute steal in my mind. The last 2 weeks, Forte has averaged, he's totaled 82 and 81 total yards. Basically the happy result of him being completely at fully healthy right now. Plus, since week 2, he is a perfect 16 for 16 in catching his targeted passes to him. Bilal Powell had 80 yards last week as well. So it's one of those things where the Jets know where their bread is buttered. Yes, they like throwing to Jermaine Kearse and Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's doing a great job as a tight end. But at the same time, they still need their running backs, Powell and Forte, to drive the engine for that offense. So I think $3,800 is a steal this week. When you compare it to people like Mike Gillisley, Eddie Lacy, Elijah McGuire. Can you believe it? Elijah McGuire is almost 1,000 more than Matt Forte.
Wow.
Jonathan Stewart, Rob Kelly. All these guys are more than a grand than Forte. I will gladly, in fact, I'm already telling this, I will take Forte no matter what in every lineup card I fill out this weekend because the price is just too much to pass up.
That is a really good price. And every guy you listed, I want Forte more. That's absolutely true. All right. Let's. Jay, do you want to stick with you and go to wide receiver?
Sure. I've got Mike Williams. I'm basically playing a hunch here with the Phillip Rivers thing. I know Mike Williams hasn't really stood out, but at the same time, I'm encouraged. Like when a guy misses a few weeks into the season as a rookie, you can't expect him just to light it up. Not everyone here is, Odell Beckham. At the same time, the Chargers believe in him. They talk him up. You know, I know it's a small thing, but he had an improvement in targets from the week before. You know, this is basically a hunch that I'm not saying 5 catches for 80 yards, but I think 3 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown guarantee should be enough to satisfy people.
Guarantee. Where are you walking to if that guarantee doesn't come
through? A lot of guarantees
through?
In this.
He's got $3,300. Like, you can stomach 38, 3 catches, 38 points, and a touchdown that's basically what? almost 13 fantasy points. So you'll take that for 3,300. I think it's a good pick considering what we talked about with Rivers. Like I mentioned, the Patriots, when it's not Matt Ryan, of their last nine games, they've surrendered 300 yards seven times when not playing Matt Ryan. So there you go.
And you like didn't it. You didn't want to roll out a naked Phillip Rivers, which I completely
what's
understand.
With the naked?
That's
something.
The new DFS term that I'm in love with, where if you play a quarterback
you're
but
in
don't,
love with, or you're trying to become like a commonplace thing.
No, it already is. It's out there.
What is naked? Naked means
it's
you
just play the quarterback.
Yeah, you use
but
the
no
quarterback, but no receivers. You don't stack any of his receivers. Okay. Yeah, it gets a little iffy.
It's a little blue for me, but I do like it.
Well, though. Just try and Google search for naked Cousins and see what comes up if you're thinking about using Kirk Cousins.
No,
in the
I don't
lineup.
Want the government visiting me for no reason.
That was the issue with me. I just wanted to touch on your Mike Williams pick because I like that pick as well. Big opportunity against a New England defense that's allowed multiple receivers to score and or top 50 yards in six straight games. Total of 14 such receivers. And you're right. It's been the Keenan Allen show against that defense. They'll probably shadow, I'm guessing. The Patriots have taken on a little bit more shadowing of late. Even if they don't.
I think the Patriots will do their best to take away Melvin Gordon. And then just to take whatever happens on the passing game, they'll live with it.
Yeah, I'm saying that there will be an opportunity for Williams because Travis Benjamin, despite the touchdowns, he's been getting one target, two targets. Inman's gone. Trell Williams hasn't, since his five catch 105 yard game, hasn't done anything. I think it might be a nice little coming out party for the low price of 3,300.
Let's look at it this way too. I don't have any numbers to quantify this, but think about the last 7 weeks. What type of receivers have been burning the Patriots en masse? Basically, we're talking about big, athletic, or freakishly fast guys like Tyreek Hill. Like the big athletic receiver, New England apparently has trouble defending this type, this breed, whatever. And so I think, yeah, you're right. If it was 3,900, 4,400, I would probably steer clear. But 3,300, when you couple that with Rivers, so it wouldn't be a naked situation, that's what? That's 10 grand for what you perceive to be a top 20 handcuff. You know, for a week with a lot of buys.
You're clothing your Rivers with Mike Williams. I like it.
Exactly.
Nice. John, who's your wide receiver?
Not just because it's fun to say, but I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster at $4,100.
That price is unreal.
The Lions defense is legit. I mean, I think they're a legit
Slay
defense.
Will be on.
Slay is going to get lots of Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Quandre Diggs is not a bad cover
guy.
No,
he's top 20 in Pro Football Focus, like it from a coverage standpoint.
Yep, I think he's all right. But as a target guy, Jay will love this. He's caught 75% of his targets. He's scoring every other week with no Martavis Bryant in the way. I believe all their tight ends are injured. No Vance McDonald this week, it sounds like. And and that's an area where the Lions have struggled, so if it's not going to be Eli Rogers working the slot, I know he had some success when they had tight end issues, but Juju Smith-Schuster has really blossomed, and for $4,100, I'm rolling the bones with Juju Smith-Schuster. One of those guys where I'm not going to use pronouns anytime I talk about Juju Smith-Schuster.
Are you
because
trolling people on Twitter with
fun.
Your Vance McDonald?
Why? No. I decided maybe this podcast I'd swap out all my V's for B's.
You're also forgetting something about the karmic element. I don't know if you guys heard, but Juju Smith was riding the really crazy tripped-up bike.
It's
tricked
not
out bike.
That tricked
and,
out.
Okay,
it's
fine.
It's a nice but, like, bike, but yeah.
And it had been stolen, and now it got back to him. You know, I don't like to say that things like that mean anything once you get on the field, but he's going to be a big story this week. He's going to get a lot of attention in the games in prime time. No Martavis Bryant. They're not even going to play him. I think he's just going to be a healthy scratch.
Yep.
So he doesn't have to worry about people like Eli Rogers, Justin Hunter. Those guys are a little, like, maybe grab occasionally from something. Smith-Schuster will be out there the entire time.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm all in favor of it. Did it
I'm all in on
Did it have a banana seat and high-rise handlebars?
No, it didn't.
Then it's not.
You know, we're old enough, all of us are old enough to remember people that actually had the courage to buy us a bike that had a banana seat, you know?
My wife still has one, I think. It's
Why?
A banana seat.
What?
Why do you say like that?
Were they comfortable?
I took an old Schwinn. I put on the high-rise handlebars and the banana seat. I had the big flag on the back and the racks for my paper route. It was, by God, probably the ugliest bike. And of course, it being Minnesota, it was a purple banana seat.
Nice.
Of course. But I never put baseball cards in the spokes. Why would you waste baseball cards like that?
Because, well, if you've got...
There are crappy players.
When we were growing up, collecting baseball cards was the shizzle.
It was. It really was.
I have if you had, boxes at my parents' house that speak to that.
Every time I went to my grandparents, I went to Shinders to...
You had duplicates in your bike. You weren't taking Ricky Henderson's 1979 rookie card and putting it in your bike.
No. I had a Herb Washington card, pinch runner. Herb Washington, pinch runner, Oakland A's, the Charlie Finley Oakland A's.
Well,
and again, we're off track. Let's go back to Fish's receiver because this guy is pretty good this week.
Well, yeah, he. Who do I have? Josh Doctson, I believe. There's so many good receivers I like at such cheap prices, but I'm taking Josh Doctson just because he hit his career high in snaps, 54 snap percentage, playing 84% of the team's snaps last week. The coaching staff already said they're going to play the hot hand between Josh Doctson and Terrell Pryor, but they say that about running backs, wide receivers. That's weird.
Terrell Pryor's been wearing like oven mitts. Yeah, I mean, he does not have a hot hand. What's the opposite of the hot
hand? Honestly, no one is stepping up in Washington, and I just eyeball test and liking him coming out of college. I think Josh Doctson might be the most talented receiver on that.
I think we'd all agree on that.
I think that's fairly easy assessment, and probably the best red zone receiver. So I feel like he's going to get his opportunity now. He's healthy. I feel like it's his job for the taking, and this might be the first week that he can do it. The Cowboys are fifth worst against wide receivers, and they've allowed the fourth most touchdowns. Josh Doctson has 2 touchdowns in his last 4 games, and I believe 5 red zone targets in that span. Mm-hmm. So I like Doctson at $3,600, which I find very, very cheap.
I think I've mentioned this to you on the air before, but my friends do the DC drive time, so I listen to it every day pretty much, and Cousins basically is on track to what he's the middle average, you know, the mean of what he had accomplished the last 2 years without DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon. So how are they accomplishing it? They are doing it basically the inverse approach where they're riding Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed. But we all know that can't survive over a full season. Somebody needs to step up. Involved. And I think Doctson is the closest one to it. And for all we know, Pryor may be looking at this of like, man, I took a 1-year contract. I'm going to have to beg for another contract next year because of the people. This is going to reflect poorly on him.
It really will. Just a quick mention of Nelson Aguilar at 4,900. He's obviously with the Eagles. Wentz is going insane. San Francisco is giving up a ton of yardage to wide receivers. And slot corners, they're getting destroyed by slot corners. So at 4,900, Aguilar is a great play this week. But let's move on to tight ends. John, you want to start with the tight end?
Sure. I'll chase last week's box score a little bit. I don't know that necessarily O.J. Howard is usurping Cameron Brate.
Brate still played more snaps and had more targets.
Exactly. But I think we're seeing Howard take on a larger role in that passing game, probably at the expense of guys like Adam Humphrey, and maybe even Doug Martin a little bit, because they have – talented tight ends. Obviously, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson are going to get theirs. He hadn't caught more than 2 balls in a game, in any game previous to last week. So, like I said, I still acknowledge that Brate is there, but that passing offense is producing more than 300 yards per game. So there's enough left over for a second talented tight end. And Carolina's allowed 4 tight end touchdowns in the past 3 games. So I'm banking on the touchdown. I'm not looking for big yardage. I'm not looking for a bunch of catches. But I think O.J. Howard gets in the end zone this week. And for $4,200, I'm willing to back that up.
It's a great price. And the Buccaneers have the most receiving yards and the most touchdowns to tight ends this year. So they're definitely looking for them often. Jay, you want to go next with your tight end?
Yes, I've got Tyler Croft at $3,900.
Love it.
And like I guaranteed earlier, if I'm going to go expensive on Rivers, I wanted 3 guys under $4,000. And so Croft fits that bill perfectly, $3,900. He has 3 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. He's basically evolved into a very serviceable replacement for Tyler Eifert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the thing I was worried about going into last week is that he has a tendency to dominate only the Browns. So I needed to kind of see it. And so he fared pretty well last week. I think he's got a fairly reasonable window for top 7 numbers this week. The Colts defense currently owns bottom 10 rankings against opposing tight ends in the crucial categories of receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. What's more, tight ends have a solid catch-to-target rate of 63% against Indy. For the price, it's definitely right.
Wow. That is very true. I love Tyler Kroft. As I mentioned before, I love a lot of Bengals, and you can get a lot of them pretty cheap.
Yeah, let's call it for what it is. I don't know if Indy's offense is in a groove right now where they can match it, but I will be shocked if Cincy doesn't end up with 30 points on Sunday.
Yeah.
At home, presuming the weather is fine, I would be shocked if it wasn't 30
points. One of those weeks where I will pay up for A.J. Green, because you can take a couple of those other guys. Many of the guys we've listened
to. You know the cheap old term, this is a classic get-right game? To me, this has all the markings of it. Yep. And let's be honest, I'm frankly shocked that Chuck Pagano is still the coach of the Colts.
Yeah.
Well, you've been riding the Colts defense for the entirety of your tenure here at Fanball.
And not, have I
not
failed?
Incorrectly. No, I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong, but you've been a vocal proponent. I just like the fact that you've clothed my naked Red Rocket with
wait a second. Let's move on.
No more naked Dalton with the Kroft pick.
Did you hear that, Red Rocket? Who said that and Romo giggled the other day?
Yes.
I forget who it was.
Who called the game with him?
Yeah, I can't remember. But let's move on here to the last tight end, last little bit of the show here.
The dad runner.
All right. The dad runner, Jason Witten. I have him at $4,400. Actually, Fanball has him at $4,400. I just think that's a good value. He plays Washington, who have just been torched by tight ends. Granted, two of those games were Zach Ertz. So, throw that in there. But Washington has allowed at least 89 yards or more to four different tight ends and six different tight ends, either 40 yards or a score in their seven games. I mean, that's a lot to give up. And Jason Witten has had at least four catches and four catches and 50 yards in three of his last four games. Last week was supposed to be a tough matchup against the top, three 49ers defense against tight ends. Still scored and had a good day. He plays close to 100% of the team snaps. I like him here against Washington in a good matchup and just at $4,400.
In the Empire League, I'm sorry, I think I had Tyler Eifert to start the season, and he got hurt. And so I had to kind of pick somebody up.
He did? Eifert? No. And then, are you sure Eifert got hurt?
So then I grabbed Witten. I'm like, okay, I'll just do this as one thing because I perceived him like the targets are kind of going down. And while he's a Hall of Famer, he'll rise up and have a good game every now and then. I'm not even wasting my time unless I can get O.J. Howard, who I think was scooped up a few weeks ago. Unless I can get somebody like that with upside, I've stopped even trying to replace Witten because I know on average his consistency, just like Cameron Brate. You can talk about O.J. Howard and the upside all you want. Look at Cameron Brate's numbers in the last 5 weeks. It's basically 6.5 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown every other week. Who wouldn't give anything for that kind of consistency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just in and out every week. It's nice.
Well, I was going to point out that my only concern, and I am a huge Jason Witten fan, but my only concern is that the Redskins – second in the league in yards after the catch allowed to tight ends, and that just ain't Jason's game.
That is not Jason Witten's game.
So you might have to dial they're all gonna be air yards. Whatever his projected air yards are, add one, and that's his.
So
yards.
He's not a big yak guy.
He is not. He's a fack guy. After catch.
Was it Swearinger? Is that the guy Swearinger? Whatever the Redskins cornerback who tried to guard Zach Ertz on the goal line the other night. Where it was the weakest, most feeble tackle attempt I've ever seen in like Ertz basically ran into him thinking, okay, you'll tackle me, and just kept on going for another 2 yards and scored a touchdown. And you're right, Witten isn't exactly known for his yak.
No, not at this point in his career.
Don't talk.
Oh man, that's great. So there's a bunch of values for you. I hope you use some of those, and I hope they pay off well for you.
I think you should use them in the fishbowl contest.
Yeah,
are we getting
feedback from people on how are these people winning contests because of this actual show?
Oh, yeah. Everyone who listens to this show has been cashing out every week.
Winning
I know
consistent
this group,
money.
We keep
it's
winning
proven. It's
the
a scientific
contest.
Fact.
Okay. Yeah, we're winning money. I don't really care what the listeners are doing.
I care about you, the listeners.
I was first going into Sunday night's competition in the internal league. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when Patriots-Falcons didn't have great numbers, I'm like, okay, I must have won. Sure enough, I finished third the next day. But it's getting to the point where I'm ticked if I finish third. Now, this is how bad the group is outside of this podcast.
Why would you throw Jess and Jared and Matt and
the
other guys?
Trevor is a savant on the NBA, you know? So he gives my full props.
Oh, I'll stop calling him idiot then. Just go with the savant.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, what is going on? I'm looking up stuff.
Right, little Huey Lewis in the news.
There's some music playing. All right, let's get on
after
out
the
of
hour.
Here.
We got Huey Lewis in the news coming up.
We're like 30 minutes in. This is the longest. All right. Thank all right, you for listening, everybody who's listening. John Tuvey is at JTuvey on Twitter. The person providing the background music right now is Jay Clemens at MIN_JayClemens. I'm at ScottFish24 on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.